Lesson 69 in the book of Ephesians. Be turning to Ephesians chapter 5, verses. We left off with verse 15 last week. Or last lesson, I should say. And Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15. See then that we walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding that what the will of the Lord is. Now, you think about walking circumspectly, not as fools, but as what? Wise. You know, people are made wise by how? If you're saved today, how are you made wise? The Word of God. Some people that's lost people, they're made wise by the world system, aren't they? You know, and all that. But you think about, you walk like a person that God's in God's wisdom. We have His Word, the song we sung about today. You know, the faith in His Word, the written Word of God and all. You walk like a person who knows what is going on. You don't walk like somebody that don't know what's going on. If you, if you're saved today and study your Bible and understand where you're at in a mystery program, not prophetic program, and you know how to walk. You know how to talk. You know how to make decisions based on who you are. You walk like a person who has made be wise in the wisdom of God. Now verse 16 says, redeeming the time because the days are what? You believe that?
Yes.
Ever since you got saved, or before you got saved, the days were evil. And we're going to think about some things that way today. You know, but that's... But you walk that way because you're wise. A wise man of God will walk understanding, redeeming the time. And you've got to be careful because your days can be filled up with all kinds of evil things, can't it? You know, you can get caught up in the world system and get caught up in the political system. You get caught up in, you know, non-spiritual things. Is that wise? Well, how is it affecting your inner man? It's destroying it, ain't it? Or making it a non-witness. Galatians chapter 1. Hold your finger in the Ephesians and go back to Galatians chapter 1. Go back one book to your left. Galatians chapter 1 is a cross-reference onto that. It says, grace be, verse 3, grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who, what? Who is that who?
Jesus
Christ gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and the Father. You know, the days are what?
Evil.
Evil, because this is a day... Let me ask you this. These days that we live in, why are they evil?
Because we're turning away from God.
You turn away from God?
Well, the ruler of darkness, I mean, Satan's in charge.
Satan's in charge. What brought that on? In the dispensation of grace, when Jesus Christ came to this earth, he came to Israel to save Israel so they would be a light of the world. We know they rejected him politically and rejected him spiritually, okay? But the days are evil, according to what Paul is talking about, is something a little bit different.
Perversion of the gospel.
Perversion of the gospel. You can look, that's like in categories under what I'm trying to say. But the thing is, the days are evil because this is the day of the official rejection of Jesus Christ. When they rejected Jesus Christ over here, it's an official day that they're in the evil days. We're in the evil days. People are rejecting Jesus Christ. You know that. So that's why are they rejecting them? Because they're not wise. They're not saved. And his rejection is made formal and official today. And that is why the days are evil. You may not think about that, but when they rejected Jesus Christ, he left. He's in royal exile right now. He's not hiding in, you know, darkness and all that stuff, hiding under his father's, you know, platform. No, he is royalty, is he not? He is Jesus. He is Lord of Lords, King of Kings. And, but he is in royal exile. He came as to be king, didn't he? Of Israel, king. But what did they do? Rejected him. So that gives you and me As each day of grace is extended to us, a real opportunity to take advantage of this. We don't have to be a part of that evil days, but we're sucked into it, aren't we? Some of us. You know, it's easy to do. Another reason to redeem the time, as we talked about the last lesson, is because when you find a sale at a store, have you ever noticed that sale don't last forever? You ever notice if that motorcycle's on sale? You know, Dan's talking about it. I mean, he's got it in his eyes. You know, and he's gonna work out a way to get it. You know, it's gonna be to where he wants it. I mean, I'm not saying anything evil of that. I'm just saying if that motorcycle up there was on sale today, the brother would be scrambling every which way to get it. But you know that sale. I mean, cars, trucks, couches, you know, even food. Hey, they got a sale on produce today. We better get it. We better get it. Because tomorrow's going to go up 10 cents, 15 cents. So that time does not last forever. So the time that we're in, the redeeming the time that we're in, is not going to last forever, guys. And the point is, you take advantage of the opportunity, don't you? We should take the advantage. We walk circumspectly. Once again, what's circumspectly? Circum is what? Spectly is what? Specs, eyes. You walk what's around you. Look around you. You know, you better know where you're walking. Looking around and what's going on, knowing that there's danger out there. And slippery things, and knowing that we live in a dangerous, evil time, don't we? You know, when you can trust somebody or think you can trust somebody and they fail, can you expect anything when you put trust in? You don't put your faith in people, right? But you want to know, be able to trust somebody. But you don't leave your houses unlocked, do you? You know, I came home the other day and the neighbor's knocking on the door. You know, she's got a little kid about this big. I'm like, uh-oh, what's going on? Walked in, she says, do you have a daughter? I said, yes. She said, well, we found something in the yard. Well, her purse, everything she owned, was dumped out in the neighbor's yard, scattered. I'm like, she left her car unlocked. And, you know, and we walked. I probably shouldn't say this, people's listening, but we've left and forgot to lock her house. Yeah. You know, that type of thing, and come back, boom. But she said, yeah, it came up missing Friday. Had no concern. I said, where's your checkbook? Where's your, you know, all this stuff?
Yeah.
License was there, you know, and all this stuff. She said, yeah, just, I'm like, nonchalantly, I'd be pulling my hair out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you ever lost your wallets? You ever had somebody take something? When somebody takes something from you, you feel violated. I'm sorry, you just feel violated. But these are dangerous times, and we live in. You take advantage of every place to put your foot down and the way you're walking to give service to the Lord. I don't know if you ever thought about walking in a grocery store and they got a sale there and you're going to redeem the time on the sale, how your walk is around people that's in that grocery store. We know how our walk is should be when we work with people. You know, the other day, the last week was Driver Appreciation Week across the nation. And they was doing drawings at work. And they was giving away Subway cards and $50 Walmart cards, things like that. And I walked into work. I didn't hear my name called. You know, apparently everybody got something. But my boss looked at me. He goes, did you get your gift card? I'm like, I didn't get no gift card. You didn't call my name. Another driver said, yeah, he did. You know, it came. I said, no, he didn't. He goes, did you get your... You're not lying to me, are you? You're a preacher. And I said, I wouldn't lie to you if I wasn't a preacher. You know, I'm sorry, I wouldn't do that to get a $10 gift card. Now, I wouldn't do it if I had a $100 gift card. I didn't say, you know, thing is, and he gave me a hat and all that stuff, but I just wanted him to know that my walk is going to be who I am, whether I got a gift card or not. You know what I mean? Like the building thing I was talking about. I want to make sure I'm doing the right thing, even though it costs me. You know, I want to walk circumspectly. I want to know, walk for the Lord. Walk like a person who has the wisdom of God guiding them where they walk. You're not going to walk into a den of thieves unless you're expecting something to happen. You with me? You don't leave your windows open and your doors wide open and some bad situations. You're just inviting things in there. So you protect yourself. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 17. Wherefore, being ye not what? Unwise, but understanding that the will, what the will of the Lord is. Now let me ask you something. Can you think of a verse that you can understand the will of the Lord? Are they a verse on your mind when it talks about understanding the, what the will of the Lord is? What verse would come to your mind? Yeah. 1 Timothy 2:4. Who will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. You want to know what good and acceptable thing of the Lord is? He wants all men to be saved. But will all men be saved?
No.
So what does that stop you from sharing? Does that stop you from being who you are? No. So, but the verse tells us, what does the verse say again? Wherefore be ye not, what does it say?
Unwise.
Is that good advice or what?
Yeah.
That's something we all can take in effect, not just people growing up. Don't be dumb, spiritually speaking, if you think about it. You know, when I think of power and wisdom, be turning to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and get 1 Corinthians chapter 2. When I think of the power and wisdom that this evil world needs to hear, are you aware, as of yesterday, the world was supposed to come to an end? Was you aware of that?
No, I think I heard something on the radio. Somebody predicted something.
Yeah, September 23rd. And it confused a lot of my brothers. Because they're seeing the stars. Supposedly the stars lined up where the lady, Revelation 12, and the moon and the sun and the 12 stars. All that was lining up and Leo coming out of the thing just like, you know. And I'm listening to these guys. And the first thought I think of when people are looking at that stuff in the dispensation of grace is, who is the prince and power of the air?
Satan.
Who has corrupted the first and second heaven? Who has his people in positions in the stars? Would they not tell of a different story right now if he's in charge? Would he not convince you that the zodiac, instead of starting at a Virgo, as the Lord God Creator started, and ended up as Leo the Lion, and now it's Aries and something else, whatever? When you're looking at the stars to see what God is doing, would it not tell a different story today? How many of you actually sometimes, when you're thumbing through, how many of you still go read the newspaper? Okay. How many?
Obituaries.
Okay, obituaries. You ever go to a horoscope?
Yep.
You ever went to the horoscope and said, up?
Oh,
you know what? You ever looked at the horoscope?
No.
Okay. Ever?
Yeah,
no. Well, yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I have when I was younger. But
yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's like, mine was like, from boom, boom, horoscope. I want to know what my, and that's wrong, guys. But to think about yesterday was supposed to be the end of the world. Yesterday, the body of Christ is supposed to have been raptured out. Yesterday, the times of Jacob trouble is supposed to start. People got caught up with that. And I don't pay, you know, what bothers me when I see brothers and sisters involved in that, and I'm like, you're mixing prophecy with mystery, guys.
What idiot predicted this?
Well, there's thousands of unwise idiots.
Yeah.
Some people think that there's like the ultimate earth or something, or like, weird
old planet. Yeah. It started with an N or something, and all this stuff is taken in line, and then you see the earthquakes and the hurricanes and the water and stuff like that. There's one guy already showed that the United States is totally different now.
Well,
What chapter and verse was that in here?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Well, they tried to take in Romans, Revelation 12, which is easy to come. It's going to happen.
Misinterpretation, though, isn't it?
They're walking unwise. But 1 Corinthians chapter 1:18, this is what an evil world needs to hear, okay? This 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. For the preaching of the cross, for the preaching of prophecy, for the preaching of what? The cross is to them that perish foolishness, but to us which are saved, it is what? The power of God. You know, people out there point at you and say, you're preaching what? A cross? That's foolishness. That ain't got nothing to do with what the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But to us which are saved, it is what? The power of God. You want to know what the power of God is? For it is written, verse 19, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise. I will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is these people that are disputing the power of God at? Where are they, guys? You meet them. You talk to them. They're an institution. They're in the world. And what does he say? Where is the disputer of the world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? This is serious stuff, guys. You can't go to the books of institutions, if you will, and you better be saved and understand what God is doing today, because they'll suck you out and put their wisdom in you. And there you are with the wisdom of God, and you're all alone, and you're looking around, and the world's spinning, and everybody's having fun, and everybody's doing this and that, and you're sitting there like, to them you're as a fool, if I can say that correctly. Don't they look at you like that sometimes? But yet, you look at this, say, you know something, this is what God's doing. He has not told us when he's taking us out here, but he's told us to be what? Watch. Be ready. I think about, they're talking about the last trump and all that stuff. Listen. Faith comes by hearing, hearing the word of God. The trump, if you do a study on a trump, it's words of God. It's not no musical instrument like the Pied Piper. It's words. And he spoke words. He says that you're a sinner, and you heard that you're a sinner, and that Christ died for your sins. You heard the first trump. You're made alive. You're alert. You're walking circumspectly. You're ready to go. You're ready to fight. You're ready to stand. You with me? And you're in that state until he takes you out of here. Until he calls you out. But many of us get relaxed, huh? I got another day. You know, he ain't coming. You know, and you start getting involved in prophecy stuff. And you start believing what's going on over here, trying to put it here. Listen, you better spend your time understanding. There's nothing wrong with the prophetic program. But you better understand where you're at in this parameter, that what God is doing today, all that other stuff will fall into place. But look, it says, after the wisdom, verse 21, for after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. When you preach the word, when you preach the cross, that Christ died for your sins, bearer, that's power. And it'll take a dead man and make him alive. See, we assume that everybody in these other churches and stuff like that are saved, don't we? Oh, they're a good guy. They're a good girl. They've been going there. They read your Bible. Have you ever asked them, what do you trust? I've gotten so much trouble with doing that. But I'm not afraid to. Because I'm like, I'm listening to all this stuff that you're saying, but you're not nailing it to the cross. His cross. They have to hear that Christ died for their sins. When did that happen? At the cross. And it says, for the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto a Jews a stumbling block, unto the Greeks foolish. Now, what did Greeks required signs, didn't they? If they did not get a sign from God, they didn't believe it. Where'd God go? He's not with us. You know, pillar of smoke, fire, you know, All that stuff. Remember the first two signs that God ever gave? Moses stuck his hand in this thing, pulled out a baby. Throw the staff down, snake. Those two signs are the first signs in your Bible. And they followed that ever since. And if they didn't see a sign from God, they didn't think God was with them. So what in the dispensation of grace, that's changed in the Corinthians. The Corinthians, the Gentiles, are speaking in tongues. They're having miraculous things happening to them. They're touching people. You know, Paul stuck his hand in a viper and got bit. He just shook it off and they're like, oh. And how many of you got a handkerchief in the mail? Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Have you ever got one? I have. Yeah. They're still come. Send us $100. You got this handkerchief. And it's going to heal you. You know, put it on you and whatever, prayer cloths and all that stuff. But look. But unto them which are called, both Jew and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God, because, verse 25, because the fullness of God is wiser than man, and the weakness of God is stronger than man. Hey man, I'm on God's side. I'm serious. When it comes to preaching Christ, I know what saves people. It's not circumstances. It's not baptism. It's not church membership. It's not altar calls. It's not how much I give to the church. It's not how much I study my Bible. It's the Christ that Christ died for us, right? You believe that? You believe that, you're saved. Praise God, hallelujah. Now, what's the wisdom of God? 1 Corinthians. You want to know what the wisdom of God is today? Don't we? How many would love to be wiser than God? How many sometimes think they're wiser than God? I think we do sometimes when we ignore Him. When we put the Bible away and we say, you know something? He won't mind. He won't mind if I do this. I'm still His child. You know? But you got to be wise. You know, I don't want to do anything my daddy's going to catch me and bust my bottom with. You know what I mean? Even today. How old was you when you got your last spanking? Can you remember that? Yeah. Have you ever got a spanking? Sure, you got like two in her life. I'm like, I went to school with stripes across my back. You know? But not to be ugly. I was 18 years old. My mom said, you ain't old enough. I can't spank you. I'm like, whoa, Mom. You know, that put me in line. You know what I mean? But, but look, chapter 2, Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1. You want to know what the wisdom of God? Let me ask you this. What's the power of God? Let me hear it. We just went over it. The preaching. What is it?
It's the wisdom of preaching.
The preaching of the cross is the power of God. If you want to know what power, like I said, it takes a dead man, makes him alive. You got to preach to a dead man that Christ died for your sins, the preaching of the cross, and he was buried and rose again. That he believes that, he comes alive. That's power. It's not jumping up on your pews here and speaking in tongues and running all over the place, jerking around, shaking. That's nonsense. But look, verse 1, and I don't sound like a mad, though. Okay. I don't want to sound like I'm mad.
No.
Okay. Not this bad. But I'm being serious. This is serious stuff. Because what happened yesterday, people caught up in it. They don't know what to do today. You with me? They're wandering around hiding. And you know, like, oh gosh, I hope they don't come to me and say, what in the world happened? Fools do that. I remember sitting in May, my son and I at an Indians game playing the Reds, and that day the world was supposed to end due to that one radio guy that he's dead now, and the clouds started coming in. It was around 6:05 it's supposed to happen, and the clouds, and I pointed at my son, I said, he'll send on the clouds. And Josh was like, Dad, stop. You know, I'm like, I'm just joking. 6:05 came, people stood up. A few people stood up and said, we're still here. We're still here. And first thing I'm thinking about, they're mocking my God. Mm-hmm. You know, but they was mocking this guy that's got billions of dollars and he's still on the radio even after he's dead, preaching that stuff. You know, you can't put a time limit on what God is doing to catch us away. You can't do it. But I, And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech, nor of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. Now, could Paul come to the Corinthians with the wisdom of man?
Yeah, wisdom of man, yeah.
That man was a Pharisee of Pharisees from a tribe of Benjamin. And he was moving up to a system, of religious system. He knew who God was. God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He knew that wisdom. And he goes, for I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom. Oh, those motivated speakers. Oh, those elegant speakers. They've got, and it was Dan. He's worth $40 million, by the way. The one we talked about. $40 million, and he can't tell you the gospel. $40 million, and they're giving you a motivation speak. How much motivation do you need to have the wisdom of God to go out here in a lost and dying world and know where your mind is set? And he says, and my speech was not a man's wisdom, but in a demonstration of the Spirit and a power. What power? He preached the gospel. He preached the cross. That's what it is said. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of man, but in the power of what? Where's your faith at today? In some book somebody wrote? In some football team?
What chapter and verse are you in?
Do you know what chapter and verse we're in?
No, I got one.
1 Corinthians chapter 2.
We're in 2 Corinthians.
1 Corinthians chapter 2. I get tongue-tied sometimes.
That's all right.
Yeah, I mean, I'm...
Wait till I get you outside.
We're in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, okay, guys? Yeah. And sorry about that. And we're in verse 5. We're just five, verse 5. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God. You don't put your faith in man's wisdom. They'll steer you wrong. Verse what? Where we're at? Oh, 6. Howbeit we... Now, Paul is including himself with the Corinthians, isn't he? We speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of the world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. Even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Now, the wisdom of God in a
mystery.
Now, I'm going to ask you this. Was it a mystery that Christ was going to come and die and was buried and rose again?
No.
I've had people say, that's the mystery. I'm like, no, it's not. What came after that, that he died for you and I, is a mystery.
Body of Christ.
Yes. But you can find in Genesis 3:15, a lot of people forget about this, is the gospel of God, the good news, what God is doing for all. That he's sending a redeemer to die for mankind. But the wisdom of God in a mystery is only found through Paul's epistles. And I know people today that they're saved, and they believe that that wisdom was hid in Abraham. He just didn't know it. That it was hid back here, but they just didn't know it. I'm thinking, that's not what it says. It's hid in God. So when you think about the mystery program in which we did the dispensation of grace, the dispensation of the mystery, Colossians talk about, that it was there before this was here. So we always teach about the beginning, the prophetic program, and the mystery program interrupted the prophecy program, right? But here's something else you can think about. The prophecy program interrupted the mystery program. Because this was in God before the world began. the body of Christ, God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we always say had a first grace conference. And they decided in themselves what the body of Christ is going to be. Not that you and I are going to be in it. That the body of Christ was predestinated. Okay? Now how do you get in this body? You trust that Christ died for your sins, buried, and rose again. He puts you in a body. He's dealing with a body. He's not dealing with the nations. So people gets all mixed up and try. You with me?
Yeah.
So the wisdom of God, we preach wisdom of God in a mystery. You want to know what God's wisdom is, it's found right there in Paul's epistles. Now, going back to Ephesians. I just want to share that with you because we need to know that. A lost and dying world, evil world, needs to say, hey, I know the wisdom you're following. And it's going to take you down a road of hell. It's going to take you down a road of evilness. You know, even when you're saved, you can become, non-affected. And your brain is like, okay, I'm following this. You know, and we talked about this power in the last lesson, so we talked about how powerful this flesh was, and your mind just starts saying, it first is a thought. Well, it don't really look that bad. Then that thought becomes emotion, and you get over and you're like, oh, well, it's really not that bad. And then you get in it, and you're like, I'm in it. I don't care. With me? That's what that thought process does, like a machine gets rolling. You ever roll a big rock? Or rode a car by yourself? Like, I gotta get this car out of the house. You know, you're like, I got to push this to here, and like, okay, I'm starting and I'm pushing, and it gets rolling and gets where it's going. You don't care how I got there; it got there, and you get indulged in that. But how are you going to maintain your walk? Back to Ephesians chapter 5. How are you going to maintain what we're talking about, being in the wisdom of God?
Faith and trusting in Christ.
Now that's how you got there, okay. But if you continue to put your faith and trust in that, how is that being put into energy in this evil world today? We just looked at the verse, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 17. Be not unwise. You've got to be wise. You know, we want to be wiser than the devil today, don't we? We know his tactics. Many of us have been there. He was my daddy at one time. I hate to say it, but it's true. Don't think nothing bad of me. We all had our conversations. That's right. Be ye not unwise. In other words, don't walk like fools walk. You know how a fool walks? Stay with me, guys. You know how a fool walks? Blindly, they say. They say out in the world, he's just fat and happy. You know, he doesn't have a lick of sense. He doesn't have a care what's going on. He doesn't know what he's doing. He is just doing it. That is a fool. But as a wise and a man, understand the will of the Lord. Do you know what it's like to walk as a wise man? It's to understand the will of the Lord. Everything we're just talking about. It's spiritual power is going to attend your ministry. And you'll appreciate God's program for this dispensation. When you're walking as a wise man in God's program, it's going to affect you in the dispensation of grace. And the decisions we make, and the lives that we live, and the more you understand and appreciate it, the more you grasp what the will of the Lord is in this dispensation. And we can understand why there's an evil world out there. And the more it's going to be, you walk worthy of the walk, and your life has a spiritual power in it. I'm going to leave off there. Next week we're going to look lesson, Lord willing. And be not drunk with wine, wherein the excess, but be filled with the Spirit. And a lot of people misunderstand that verse. Okay? Because we know how a fool walks. The unwise. But you also got a wise walk. Father, once again, thank you for the time you've given us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.